Once again, we thank the Lord for this wonderful time of fellowship as we stick around God's word and mellow in his love and in his care to be conformed to that true image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without wasting much time, can we just turn in our Bibles and we'll read from the book of Genesis, chapter 17. The book of Genesis 17. We'll start from the first book, from the first verse of chapter 17. It reads, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto them, and to thy seed after thee." May the Lord God bless the reading of his word. Amen. Amen. Now, as we saw in the morning, that God has called us, not just calling us, but he chose us. Now, when we try to look and define the word choosing, it means it's an uplifting or a taking in a special way from many things that can be good. You know, back home when we are doing our farming, there are some seeds or there are some crops that we keep on planting from the harvest. So when we collect the crop from the field, we bring it home, and then we start to sort it out. There are some seeds maybe that have been tampered with insects and things like that. We remove those, we throw to the hens, to the chicken. They are just consumed there, and then we remain with some. And we, from there, we take the very good seeds and we preserve them for seed for the next season. And the rest, we eat. So, there's some speciality or there is a selection from much seed. So, what is taken for the next season, we preserve it in a way that is very special. This seed must not be contaminated maybe with moisture. It must not be contaminated with insects or things like that. It must be preserved for the next season. So those seeds, you know, as much as maybe it's corn or it's sorghum, we don't just call them corn. Now they are seeds. But the rest we say, oh, this is a bag of corn. This is a bag of groundnuts. This is a bag of sorghum. But when we go to that bag that has the seed, We don't call it a bag of maize or corn. We call it a bag of seed. Its definition points to something that is very special. Even when we run out of food, we cannot go to that bag which is called seed. It's reserved for something special. It's reserved for the next generation. Now, this is what God has done to us. He has called us and chosen us. We saw, was maybe in the morning, if we read the scripture, in the book of Matthew it says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Even when Jesus Christ was here on earth, many people came to him and they were called disciples. And we are taught in the scripture where Jesus would teach or talk to his disciples. Like in the book of Matthew, it says, when his disciples had come to him, he went up into a mountain and he opened his mouth and taught them. You'll teach them all. But you'll now select those 12 and say, now, to you, the mysteries of God are revealed. And out of the 12, we find him again bringing out 3, James, Peter, and John. He goes with them aside for some special thing. Even out of the 3, we see him again and say, Peter, follow me. You see, this is how God brings up the speciality of his choosing. There are things that he could not speak to Peter while the rest of them were there. There are things that he could speak to his disciples when all the multitudes were there. Now we have come down to here where we see God calling Abraham. As he was called there, Abraham. The Bible says, when he was about 99 years old, God comes down to him and he tells him, he reveals something to Abraham that maybe he had never known before. He says, I am the Almighty God. I am the El Shaddai. I am the Blessed One. I am the Giver of Life. Walk before me and be thou perfect. So God is calling to Abraham, whom he has chosen, whom he has called. And after he had gone for all these years, he comes at a special time and point in life where he tells him that he must walk higher than the way he walked all these other years. Though he had been called, now specifically, God is to deal with him according to the purpose of his calling. Knowing that in chapter 12 of the book of Genesis, God called him and he came. He came out of the land of Mesopotamia and Lot also came with him. Then we find in chapter 13, where now there was a separation again from Abraham from Lot. Why was God doing this? He is shaping Abraham to come into that position of his election. And then he goes with Abraham. He comes to a time where now God tells him, you have been sacrificing. Let's look at this, Abraham. We know at chapter 12, he was now walking or going around the country that God had shown him. He was building altars, worshipping God. And in chapter 13, that's when there was a separation of Lot as he went down to Sodom. In chapter 14, that's where we see Lot had been captured and Abraham goes to redeem him. And there he met Melchizedek and he was blessed. In chapter 15, there's a deep desire in Abraham. When God says, "Don't worry, I'm your shield and your great reward." But Abraham says, "What shall you give me since I go childless?" In chapter 16, that's when we find now Hagar coming in and Ishmael is born. But later on, he was dismissed from the camp. Now, in chapter 17 now, he's been called to a special work by a special revelation of the name of who he had called him and elected him. It is revealed to Abraham. You remember in chapter 14, as I said, God had revealed himself to him as Melchizedek, the priest and the king of Salem. But now we are going again as we see the perfection of the election of Abraham. Here he's told, "Your name is no longer going to be Abraham, but you're going to be Abraham. For a father of nations you shall be." And God here tells him that he was going to make a covenant with him, which would go even to his children. And here we see his name being changed from Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, his wife. He's being elevated because of the purpose of his choosing. I want to believe this is what God is doing with his church. We have not just come just to worship, because we know the Bible tells us that even the devils believe and they tremble before God. So it's not just a matter of trembling before God. It's just a matter of believing there's a God. Like Brother Percy was saying in the morning, I didn't get the whole what he said, but he said you were on the taxi with a Muslim man who was saying, "We believe in one God." Yes, there's only one God, and he's a Muslim. He believes in that. Is that how far we can go in our belief that God is only one? Something that a Muslim can get. Something that can be, say, a revelation to a Muslim. God has called out to something that is higher. That's why he tells Abraham, "When I called you with Lot, you had faith in a God who had called you to bless you. And really, I blessed you until Lot's property or Lot's head was so large. And when Lot left, all he knew about this God was that he's a God who blesses. I was with 2 goats, now I've got 100. I had 2 cows, now I've got 1,000. That is the knowledge that Lot had of this God. And Lot had been delivered in chapter 14, as we said, when he was taken captive by those kings. That's all Lot knew about this God. He says, "God has made Abraham to come and deliver me. And I'm not persuaded to believe that when Melchizedek came, Lot was there. He had already gone." But this was an elevation of the chosen one. Now when he comes to chapter 17, God comes to him and says, walk before me and be thou perfect. You know, because here the Bible tells us that he was 99 years old. He was, maybe he had come to an age where he could not be, you know, contaminated with the things of the world. At that age, he was not running around, you know. At that age, you know, he was just sitting at home. Yet God tells him, you must be perfect. How can an old man just sitting at home be defiled again? The time for running around was over. The time for the interest of the things of the world was over. But God is telling him to come into that position whereby the fulfillment of the word of God can be accomplished in him. Amen. You are chosen, Abraham, for a special purpose. You are chosen for a special role in the economy of God. So walk before me and be thou perfect. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So here we see that God was calling him now that he be the father of nations, that through him would come those who would worship God now by faith. When Abraham came out with Lot, it was something that was just maybe circumstantial to Lot. It was a promise now there to be blessed and all that. And Abraham lived all this time. But now he is told, the real cause of your calling, the real purpose of your calling has now come. So be perfect. Amen. And walk before God. That's when circumcision now was introduced. Like we see the prophets now, when they spoke about this circumcision, they would cry out against people, calling them uncircumcised in the heart. Can you see? Now here was a cutting away of that surplus flesh. And the consecration of Abraham to bringing forth the real purpose of God. This was after Ishmael had been born. This was now to bring forth that which would satisfy God's calling. And he was given an everlasting covenant that God will be God to Abraham and his children. And that he would have a son. And it was here in chapter 17 when God even gave Abraham that the son you are going to have with Sarah shall be called Isaac. Your name shall be Abraham. Your wife's name shall be Sarah. Amen. Here is concluded Amen. The purpose of God. Amen. But he was told one thing. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Cut out from all these other things. Cut out from all the defilement of the earth. And we know after this that he went, when there was that drought, he went to the land where Abimelech was king, where Sarah was taken, and Abimelech wanted to take her as his wife, but God came down that very night. He says, Abimelech, the woman you have taken is somebody's wife. Before that, we know when Abraham went down to Egypt, Sarah was taken into the palace of Pharaoh. And we know how kings married their wives during that time. You didn't just take a woman and marry her overnight. They'll go through a process. Like, you know what happened with, was that Esther? There was a process which went into months. The preparation of the wife of the king. So Sarah went through all those processes. Maybe she was taught Egyptian language. She was dressed Egyptian garments. She was taught how to eat at an Egyptian table. But when it came to this, when her name was changed, Abraham's name was changed, and was taken by Abimelech, she did not spend 24 hours in that palace. God had to come down and say, Abimelech, you are just as good as dead. You have taken somebody's wife. This was now the protection that God was giving to Abraham and to Sarah. Because of the commission that God had put upon them. Remember, her name had been changed. Abraham's name had been changed. He was no longer old Abraham. And the name of God had been revealed now to Abraham. Amen. So, in this case now, walk before me and be thou perfect. Amen. May I say to the church again this afternoon, walk before God and be perfect. Amen. It's no longer time to flit around with the world. It's no longer time to be affected by the things of darkness in this world. And run after the fashions of this world. And go after the pleasures of this world. God has chosen you for a special purpose. Amen. Like he did here with Abraham. Walk before me and be perfect. Amen. Yet he was now an old man. But God is calling him. Because he is going to be a true seed. To bring forth many nations. Now, his sanctification or his cleansing in this at this juncture was not only for himself, because here God tells him that you must walk before me and be perfect, and I'm going to make my covenant with you. And I'm going to multiply you, and my covenant is with thee, and you shall be the father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations. For an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Amen. Amen. Here is why Abraham is told to go through this process whereby he must be sanctified and perfect before God. Amen. There's something special that is going to happen to Abraham. There's something that is going now to cut Abraham from all these other things, whereby before, though called of God, though chosen of God, he could go into things, you know, like taking Hagar, like doing this and doing that. But now, it's now narrowing into the peak of the pyramid. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I believe the Spirit of God is calling upon the church that we should walk before God. Amen. Not walk in all our own concept. Not walk in our own imaginations. Not walk after our own, you know, eager. Not to walk after our own feelings. But to walk before God. Amen. That whatever we do, it must be an inspiration that comes from God. Amen. It must be led of God. Amen. It must be
God himself. Amen. It's no longer time that we go by our own feelings. Amen. By our own endeavor. But to be subject to the leading of the Spirit of God. Amen. Because you have been chosen. Amen. Because you have been brought into that which is the climax of the intention and purpose of God. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, God, that's what he does, you know, when he has a speciality, when he wants to do something special, he just doesn't go head over heels about things. Let's look in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 13. We want to see something there again. Judges chapter 13. We read from verse 2. And there was a man, a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. And I asked him not where he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine, no strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Now here, God is talking to Manoah's wife, because he wants to do a special thing. Of all the tribes of Israel, God had chosen this house of Dan. And from the house of Dan, God had called this man of Zorah, whose name was Manoah. And he had chosen his wife to be the one who was to bring forth a deliverer of the people of Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And he comes to the woman and tells her, you are going to bear a son. And because of that, you must not drink wine or any strong drink or anything that comes from the grapevine. Because you are going to conceive and bear a son who will be not an ordinary man, but no razor shall be put on his head. He shall be a Nazarite from the womb. And here God sanctions the woman not to defile herself with a strong drink or anything that will defile the seed that was going to be brought forth. Can you see? The holiness of God when he comes to the climax of the purpose of his calling. We don't have to play around. We don't have just to hit our heads in anything that defiles. He says, you must not defile yourself because you are going to bring forth a deliverer for Israel. God now demands that holiness. He demands now that separation. She was now an audible. She was now somebody who could not just go to parties. where they'll be eating and drinking anything. She had to be secluded from the normal way of life because she was going to bring forth a deliverer. Wasn't it so again in our generation when God wanted to have his bride and give the bride a message that will deliver her from the shackles of denominationalism, shackles of sin, shackles of religion? Didn't he say to that young boy of 3, defile not your body with drink, smoking, or running around, because I've got a work for you when you get older? He had to be separated because God wanted to bring a message. He had to be kept from all the sins and things of the world because God wanted to use him to bring a message to take out the bride from the shackles of religion and the world. So here is what God does. Amen. He sanctifies his vessels. He prepares his vessel. Now just imagine, it was Paul who said, I've espoused you to one husband as a chaste virgin. Not just a virgin, but a clean one. Amen. A virgin, not just naturally, but in the spirit and in the heart. Remember when Abraham was called about to go into this covenant of circumcision. We even go to where it said is the circumcision of the heart. Can you see? It is now more than just fleshly circumcision. But it is the cutting away of all the surplus from the very heart of those who have been called. So, God spoke to this woman, and God spoke also to the prophet that he must not be defiled. Now, let's look at us. If God had to tell this young boy not to be defiled for the purpose of giving us the message, how much more does God desire of us to be circumcised from all the filth of the world, from all the dirty fashions against God's word, from all the things that defile the mind and the heart? We are called to a life of holiness. We are called to a life of perfection. We are called to a life of the rapture. Remember, from all the ages, we look at the people of Israel. God came down himself to bring people out of bondage. That was natural. And then the Lord came through the prophets to deliver people from all the defilement of the Babylonians, the Persians, and all those, the Philistines, the Assyrians. And he kept on perfecting the way until the Lord Jesus Christ came as a man who could feel a headache, feel hunger, feel thirst, to deliver his church. But now we are going up and up to the pinnacle of the pyramid. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is coming for a perfect bride. If it was called of Abraham to be perfect, and even Israel, they were given the brazen serpent, they were given the tabernacle in the wilderness for them just to be sanctified. They were given the ashes, which were the waters of separation. They were given the sacrifices to make them at least clean. How much more us who have been delivered by the very life of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To be the bride. How much perfect should we be? Amen. As we near the coming of the Lord. Amen. If just to bear a natural son, God says to Abraham, be perfect and walk before me. How much more now in this our age, when Christ himself is coming to take us as his bride. Amen. To live with her forevermore. Amen. How much closer should we walk with him? How much nearer should we be to him? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The word of God is calling us to our sanctification. Amen. The word of God is calling us to a life that is worthy of the gospel. Amen. Amen. That when angels of God look down upon us, they can see the reflection of Christ in us, even as his bride. Amen. Doesn't the Bible say, when God called us, okay, let's just read it. That is in the book of Peter. That is the first book of Peter. First chapter, verse 11. It says, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto they did minister the things, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Amen. This is what we have been called. The angels throughout the ages, amen, they were looking down to see that mystery of God. Amen. That desire of God to bring out a bride for Christ. Amen. They've been looking in the life of Abraham. They were looking, but they could not see it. It was still a mystery. Christ came. It was still a mystery. But now is the fulfillment of what the prophets were looking for. Amen. Why Isaiah could give himself be sawn asunder. Why Jeremiah could let them drop him there in that pit. Amen. Why David would cry out, writing those psalms, amen, crying out to God. Why the prophets went through what they went through. It says, they were not doing it for themselves, but for us. Now we are the product. Why David walked the way he walked. Amen. We are the product of why Joseph had to be thrown in the pit and later into the dungeon. He was only a figure pointing to what God had preserved for us. That's why we were not just called into this world. We were chosen. Amen. Amen. We were chosen. We are not that chaff that can be given to the chickens. Amen. We are not that chaff that can be sent to the mill to be ground into meal to be fed to the people. We are that seed which was preserved. That's why God has called us. Amen. And when God comes to that position, he requires holiness. He requires a life that is dedicated to the purpose of God. Amen. Did not our Lord Jesus Christ say in chapter 17 of the book of John, he says, I sanctify myself because of these. He was now going, but he says, I'm now sanctifying myself. Amen. Amen. You know, when he was nearing that door to perfect us. You remember when he came to Samaria, he was sitting there at the well. They tried to give him food, you know, after he talked with that woman. They tried to give him food, but he could not eat. They said, now, why is he not taking his food? Somebody has brought him food. He says, I've got food that you don't know. That food is to do the will of my Father and to accomplish it. Amen. He was now doing things that they could not even understand after they had stayed with him and seen him in the ministry for those 3.5 years. His eyes were set for the cross. He was now behaving audibly. He was not as he was all the time. He was now perfecting. And then in chapter 17, he says, Father, sanctify them, keep them in thy word. Sanctify them with thy truth. Amen. Thy word is truth. I don't just ask for their sanctification, but I sanctify myself for them. Amen. Here he was giving his whole to them, for them now. That when he goes to Calvary, he'll go there with the life, the anointing, and the purpose of dying for our sins. No wonder his blood was received on the altar. To cleanse us, that we may be the bride and the true bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is calling us not to be defiled in the things of the world. You are all aware of how Daniel, when he was there in the citadel in Babylon, as a young man, they were put in that school where they were supposed to be trained in the wisdom of the Babylonians. And they had to have a special diet, which would give them, you know, would improve their IQ. And then Daniel, with his friends, they were given these foods and these wines and all those things. They said, no, we cannot take that. Why? We cannot be defiled by these things. Why did Daniel not take those foods? He wanted to keep himself clean because a day was coming when he would be thrown into the den of lions. He had to live. He had to overcome. He had to come out of the den of lions before he was thrown in there. When he was still a young man, he lived for that day. And again, when he was coming maybe to the end of his age, of his time in Babylon, that's when he prayed about the completion of their bondage in Babylon. When he read and was given the understanding of how many years they were supposed to be in Babylon, he prayed until the angel Gabriel to come and give him true understanding. And he was not only given the time they were going to be in Babylon, but to him was revealed even the 70 weeks, which even touches us, the bride of Christ. Before you could come to that, there was a life that he had to live. He could not be defiled by the things of Babylon. He could not be defiled by the doctrines of Babylon. They said you must not pray until you get permission from the Lord. But because of his commission, because of the purpose of his calling, he had to defy the laws of the king. Because there was something special about him. It was Peter, when he was on top of that house, fasting and praying, and the Lord God himself told him, Peter, slay and eat. He looked at what God was telling him to slay. He could see there, there were the pigs, swine. He could see the rabbits running around there. He could see camels there. And the word was saying, slay and eat. He says, no, I cannot slay a pig and eat. I've never done that in my life. Three times, the Lord was speaking with him, slay and eat. Now, let's look at it. It was God himself who was telling him, slay and eat. But he said, I will not. Nothing unclean has ever entered my mouth. He was sort of fighting against God. But the essence of this passage in Scripture is to show how dedicated Peter was to what he knew as the law of God to him. He could not just be drawn into something that he had not been brought up in. Can you see that? Though God was trying to show him that the Gentiles also can be brought into the faith. There's something that God has told us through this message, how we should handle our affairs, how we should live our lives, how we should behave in our homes. All these things are not in vain, but for the purpose of us to get that final revelation, and off we go. Remember, when we come to the last trumpet, when we come to that last message, that will take us in. What sort of people should we be? We are going to have that final revelation when this mortal will put on immortality. When this that dies is going to be given life. What a message it will be on that day when God reveals that final thing. And because of that, what sort of people should we be? Like Peter said, seeing that God is going to destroy this earth, not by water like Noah's time, but by fire, what sort of people should we be? What sort of people should we be? For us to be able to receive that great revelation, that great mystery that will change us. Amen. To be able to meet him in the sky. What sort of men should we be? What sort of women should we be? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Remember, we were chosen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You know, it's like Rebecca. It's like Mary. The Bible tells us that when the servant was there at the well, he saw Rebecca coming. And the scripture says she was beautiful. She was a virgin, not by name, but had not been touched by any man. Why did Rebecca live such a sanctified life? We see Mary, who could even challenge the angel. How can that be to me since I know no man? She was a virgin by life. She was a virgin by practice. She was a virgin by inspiration. She was a virgin by her focus, because something great was going to happen in her life. She was going to bring forth the Savior. She could not just be an ordinary girl, because Rebecca was going to bring forth that which God promised Abraham in chapter 17, that I'm going to make a covenant with your children. So you must be perfect and you must be circumcised. Your name shall be changed. So, Rebecca, when she comes in to fulfill that which God has spoken to Abraham of the purity of the seed of Abraham, what sort of woman should she be? She had to be a virgin, clean. That's what God is calling us to be now. We are going to something higher, above religion, above this so-called Christianity. We are going into that which is perfect. And we must enter there by perfection. Even as God said to Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Amen. Timothy puts it like this. In the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy. Second book of Timothy. In chapter 2, of the book, in verse 19, it reads, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Amen. Amen. We have a true and a sure foundation. We are not just built upon the shaky sense of religion. We are not built upon the instability of the mess that is now in the message. We have been built upon a true foundation, even as we saw in the morning, that we were foreknown of God for this very purpose, to be raptured. We were ordained in God before the foundation of the world. Just imagine. He created the world. And he, whatever happened right there from the time of Abraham, going up unto the, even the coming of Christ, everything that transpired, we were already ordained in him. Amen. Unto the perfection of his coming. Amen. That's who we are. We are not just ordinary people. We are not just ordinary Christians by name. We are the very purpose of God. And here Paul says, the foundation of God stands sure. Amen. It's not shaky. It standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Amen. Amen. And God does not change. Amen. How does he deal with those that are his? He doesn't just group them. Amen. And take them along with the trash of the world. He separated Abraham. Amen. Remember, before these people were worshipping, we have got the Nimrods and all that, and all that stuff. But when God wanted a breed of faith, he had to do it by faith. When Abraham was called, and by faith, Abraham obeyed. And Abraham got the revelation, the Bible tells us, that he knew if he was going to sacrifice Isaac and burn him to ashes, God will raise him up again. Which was a revelation of the rising of Christ. Amen. Can you see that? This is what God was doing through his Abraham to bring about a change that we have faith in God. An adulterated faith. Amen. That will produce a clean life. Even this life we are living in. This life we are leading now as we go about our everyday business. We must be the product of that faith of Abraham. Alienated from the rubbish of the world. from all the threats of the world. Because God is looking for a bride, which Paul says, undefiled. A chaste virgin. Just like Mary. Just like Rebecca. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Paul here says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Why? Why should there be that separation? When we go to verse 20, it says, but in a great house they are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also vessels of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Then he cautions Timothy, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Amen.
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 In this great house, there are many vessels. Some are of wood, some are of plastic, some are of silver, some are of clay. But one should behave and handle himself that he may be a vessel of honor. Can you see? Don't just end by saying, I'm a vessel of gold. So, I'm of great value. Yes, you are a vessel of gold, but sanctify yourself. Because that gold can also be conquered. Sanctify your life. Sanctify your thoughts. Sanctify your being. So that you can be a vessel of honor. Because you were chosen. Like Abraham. You were chosen for a purpose. I don't care you're going to live 1 month to the rapture. I don't care you're going to live 10 years to the rapture. That time that God has given you to come to the rapture. Remember, there were those who started working 8 o'clock in the morning until 5, was it? Some came at 12. Some came at 3. Some came at 4. All to be rewarded at 5. When the ones in the morning came, they were given that price for the day. Those who came 12, they were given the same. Those who came at 4, they were given the same. Then they questioned the master, why do you give us? We toiled all day long. But you are giving us the same as the 4 o'clock ones. But I want to believe those who came in the morning and they got the job, they knew, you see, this is normal. That's how we start work. They can be playing around, you know, because all they want is for the sun to set and they get the price. But those who came at 12, they had a sense of that to be called this hour, this is grace. They put their effort in the work. And those who were called at 4, they were even more. He has called us at 4 to give us our money at 5. They sweated, I want to believe, more than those who came at 8. So, whichever time you have been called, don't play with that time. Put good use to that time. Walk before the Lord and be perfect. Don't expect some other time that you can make things right. Don't expect some other time that will come and then you can do this and do that. But whatever you are going to do for the Lord, do it now.
Amen.
You know, when I was in school,
in standard 2, the teacher gave us a motto. You know, there are mottos that they give, you know. So our teacher gave us this motto. He says, our motto in this class is do it better than you do it tomorrow. So whatever you are going to do, don't do it and say, okay, I can perfect it tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes, you say, okay, I can perfect it so far, then tomorrow I'll do it better. No. Today, do it in a better way than you are going to do it tomorrow. Can you see? So, whichever time God has given you, in this time you are living, do it better than you are going to do it tomorrow. You have faith in the word of God, then you will have faith tomorrow. We have been called to a life that what we do today may be what will make us go 10 years to come. David says in the book of Psalms, Psalm 34, verse 11. Come ye children, hearken unto me, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them him out of them all. And he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Amen. This is our God. Amen. There's a way that you must live because of that day. It will come time when you will not have time to confess, when you will not have time to repent, but all is what is needed is just to cry out to the Lord. And at that juncture, you must be in a position whereby God can hear you. His ears are open to the righteous. He delivers those who fear his name. That day will come when you need the instant action or reaction of God in your life. Be prepared for that day. Amen. Don't linger around and think there's a tomorrow whereby you can make things right. Let's make things right today. Amen. Amen. We have not much time to live after all. The Lord is coming.
Amen.
Abraham, sanctify yourself. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have been called by this message, which was confirmed on the Ohio River, that this message will lead to the second coming of Christ. And we know we have not believed a man's message. We have not believed an organizational message. We have believed a message from God. Let's walk before God. And of all things, let's be perfect. No defilement in our speech. No defilement in our life. No defilement in our association. Let's live according to the word of God. That the Lord God may bring us into that which he has determined for us. Remembering this, my brothers and sisters, that we have not only been called, we have been chosen. God called out his son from Egypt. Isn't that so? When he called Israel, remember, there were 12 tribes who came out of Egypt. But this God, there's something special about him. There's something that he does right from the beginning. When he called these 12 tribes, he said then to them, I am lifting up again. I am choosing one tribe, the tribe of Levi. These are going to be the ministers in my tabernacle. He chose. Can you see? Out of all, he had to bring up Levi. And when Levi was brought up, he says, I'm going to bring again the house of Aaron. They are going to be the priests. Lifted up higher. Out of the house of Aaron, he lifted up one man. That was the high priest. Who would go into the inner chamber. All Israel could not come to the temple and minister in the temple. It was only the tribe of Levi. But when the tribe of Levi comes, they cannot all come to the sacrificial altar. It had to be the house of Aaron. When the house of Aaron comes to the sacrificial altar, there had to be one man. We had to take the blood into the Shekinah glory. It's perfection. Calling again, another perfection. Calling again, another perfection. Can you see that? And I want you to believe, we are the high priest. We are the ones who have to go into the inner chamber. Wherein our founder, Christ himself, went into. As he was torn on Calvary to open the way into the Holy of Holies. We have been called to a life of holiness. We have been called to a life of dedication. We have been called to a life not flirting with the world, but a consecrated life that we may walk therein. Amen. Amen. This is our God. Amen. Amen. And you all know that when Israel was blessed with all their corn, their wine, and everything, God said, I need a heave offering. Is that right? You say, out of the 100 cows you have, I want 10. A heave offering. Can you see? He's always taking from many a selected, a portion. Can you see? And when that portion was given to Levi, Levi would take another portion, heave again, and give it to the priest. Can you see? It is perfection unto perfection. Can you see that? We are being taken out, you know, of all these other things. And Levi was not supposed to be running around you, looking after cows, looking after chicken, and doing that. He was separated just for the service of the Lord. But he had to do all the cleaning, all the what? Repairing of the house of God. That's what he was supposed to do. But when now it comes to the priest, he had to go there with those clothes. You remember, the priests were not allowed to go into service with woolen clothes. Huh? Because they were not supposed to sweat. Can you see? They were supposed not to be to enter into things that will make them sweat. They had to be preserved for the service of the Lord. We are preserved for the service of the Lord. Not to go there in the sweat of the things of the world. We have been separated. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is what God has done with the church. Amen. Remember, we saw in the morning that the church was called and also chosen to be a peculiar people, to be a chosen generation, to be a house of the living God. That we may not only worship God, but we be the house, the indwelling house of God. That God should dwell in us. God, who wanted to dwell in the tabernacle and also elevated the tabernacle into the temple, He now does not want to enter the temple. He wants now to dwell in us. Can you see? This is where we have come to. We have been heaved from the rest of the harvest. We are not pigs. Trash. We are not to be fed to pigs. We are not to be fed to humans. We are the preserved seed for life. Can you see? That meal which is ground to be eaten by people, it dies there. That which is given to pigs and chicken, it dies there. But that which is selected for seed, it has got a future. It is going to bear more again. It is going to produce life again. Can you see that? This is what God has called us. My brothers and my sisters, it is my prayer that we walk with God. Step by step. And don't be defiled with these things of the world. There's nothing in these things of the world. They won't profit us anything. Because we are not deprived of anything when we leave these things of the world and go by what God tells us to do. What do you lose? For the scripture says, what shall it profit a man if he can gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his own soul? We are a selected people. We are a chosen generation. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. May God, by His grace and by the power of His coming, sanctify our lives and bring us into that subjection, not by force or by just normal desire, but by the very life of God pulsating in us as we love that true fellowship with one another and with Him. That on that day, it will be a wonderful day when we together are one with Him. Even the scripture says, it will be Christ in all. Amen. When we are taken into Christ, and Christ submits Himself under the eternal Spirit of the Father, and then God will be all in all. Would have come to the point whereby heaven is no longer the place of His abode. For John saw Jerusalem coming out of heaven onto this new earth. And they said, in there there was no temple. Amen. God is dwelling right in His own people. He doesn't need a temple. Like the poet says, heaven has come down and glory has filled my soul. God will be dwelling in you, my brother and my sister. No more temple. No more tabernacle. No more heaven. Heaven will be in you. What a glorious time. What a time it will be. And as Manoah's wife, I do not want to be defiled by all this vinegar and all this wine and all these raisins. Amen. All things that come from the grapevine, I don't want to be defiled, because I'm going to bring forth Samson, a deliverer for the people of Israel. After all, this earth is waiting for the deliverer. Amen. And we are to deliver this earth. When?
the manifestation of the sons of God is fulfilled. May God bless you. As we hunger, we thirst, we yearn for that perfection which can only be found in God Himself.
Amen.
God bless you all.